Khaled El-Gindi joins us, a fellow at the Brookings Institute and previously serving as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership. Khaled, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Tell me about the upgrade for the Palestinian people today. What did they start with, and where are they now?
Well, the status that Palestine had previously was that of an observer entity. Palestine was not considered a state by any UN body. With one exception, but in general, the change in status has gone from a non-member observer entity to a non-member observer state, and so the recognition there is of the status of Palestine as a state. Of course, it doesn't change the reality on the ground, of course, of the Israeli occupation.
Right, so they don't have any land to really occupy at this time. So how does this work? I mean, even Hillary Clinton, even though she was saying that this is unfortunate, this vote, was saying that she's still envisioning a world where Israel and Palestine can coexist side by side. Is that even beginning to be possible?
Well, I mean, the goal of what was symbolically achieved today is a goal that everybody shares. The goal of the creation of a Palestinian state that would be recognized and eventually admitted as a full member of the UN, that's the official U.S. policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the United States and Israel have a problem is in the process and not in the actual outcome. The American view and Israeli view is that the only way Palestinian statehood can come about is through direct negotiations. From the Palestinian standpoint, those direct negotiations have been going on and off now for two decades, for about 20 years, and they decided to sort of leapfrog the issue, but it is not, from the Palestinian perspective, a substitute for negotiations. Rather, they see it as a way maybe to break the stalemate and could possibly facilitate future negotiations.
What have some of the issues been that have stopped those negotiations?
Oh, well, there's so many issues over the years. You know, one of the main issues that really very few people talk about is the huge power imbalance. When you're dealing with direct negotiations and one side really has all the cards, or at least a majority of the cards, and the other side is essentially at the mercy of the more powerful side, it makes it very difficult to negotiate a successful outcome. And one of the reasons why the Palestinians are going to the UN is to try to level the playing field a little bit by internationalizing the issue, getting international support behind them to compensate for that huge power imbalance.
So they feel the UN will give them the clout, if you will.
At least somewhat. It gives them some leverage over Israel, where Israel had all the cards. Israel, of course, mm-hmm. creates unilateral facts on the ground every day. It builds settlements on Palestinian land. It demolishes Palestinian homes. It deports Palestinians. It arrests even Palestinian parliament members. It can do, it can bomb Gaza. It can do incursions in the West Bank. It can do pretty much anything it wants. So this is a way of sort of trying to level the playing field. Of course, it doesn't make it exactly even, but it does give them some leverage.
Yeah, and nine countries anyway voted not to have this upgrade for a Palestinian state, including, of course, the U.S. and Canada. Why so
right.
few? I mean, you have 138 U.N. members saying yay, and only nine, including the United States, saying nay. What gives with this? Why such a small minority?
Well, even the nine is a bit of an exaggeration, because there's really only three countries of any consequence: the United States, Canada, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were countries like Micronesia and Palau, and you know, very tiny countries that are very closely tied to the United States. So, in a way, you could look at this vote as not just a vote on Palestinian statehood or a symbolic vote on statehood, but it's kind of an international referendum on American handling of this peace process over the past 20 years. And essentially what you have is the international community saying, no, we don't like the way the United States has handled this so far. And, you know, there's got to be a better way. And it's one of the reasons why the U.S. is so opposed to it, is because it takes the issue out of its exclusive control.
We only have 30 seconds left. I'm just curious, though, what happens next?
Well, what happens next is we'll probably see some activity in Congress. Congress will pass legislation to sanction the Palestinians, to cut aid and impose other sanctions, possibly even on the UN itself, to cut funding. We'll see a lot of rhetoric on the Israeli side. I wouldn't anticipate seeing any resumption of negotiations anytime soon because of the hard feelings on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But further down the road, we might see some activity.
Khaled El-Ghindi with us from the Brookings Institute. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.